This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're just a week away from Christmas Eve now, and for the fortunate among those who celebrate, it's a time for family and friends and long-awaited get-togethers. I'm David Fair, and welcome to 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Now, you might ask, what do the holidays have to do with the environment? Well, some will be traveling to be with loved ones, others will have family travel here to be with you. Travel has a huge impact on the health of our environment, and that's what we're going to discuss today. Our expert guest is Greg Keolian. He serves as co-director of the University of Michigan Center for Sustainable Systems. And a happy holiday season to you, Greg. I appreciate your time.
You have a nice holiday too, David, and look forward to talking to you.
Well, with all of the gatherings we're going to have locally throughout the state, country, and world for that matter, what kind of impact does this heavy kind of travel have on our environment?
Well, transportation accounts for 30% of the energy consumption in the United States and 28% of the greenhouse gas emissions. That is travel, including moving people, personal transportation, as well as moving stuff or goods. The light-duty vehicles, in terms of transportation, is over half of those impacts in terms of energy and emissions. But then, of course, for holidays, there's a lot of travel by air for long distance.
Can we distill those impacts down to what happens right here in Washtenaw County?
So we actually did a study of the greenhouse gas impacts of gas-powered vehicles and compared them with hybrid electric vehicles, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, and battery electric vehicles, and looked at the full life cycle in terms of the emissions with producing the vehicle, using the vehicle, and retiring the vehicle. And we found that national average, there's a 75% reduction if you compare a battery electric vehicle with a comparable by vehicle type gas-powered vehicle. So that's a tremendous improvement in terms of environmental impact.
We consistently hear how we are approaching or might even be at an environmental climate tipping point. Can we continue to travel the way that we do without pushing ourselves over the edge?
No, we need to make some fundamental changes because, as you know, we need to reduce our emissions down to zero by 2050. And 2030, we should be half of our emissions. And we're not on track with that right now. We actually did a study looking at if we had 50% sales of battery electric vehicles in 2030, would we be on that trajectory to hit to zero by 2050? And we're pretty close, but we're not on track with 50% sales of new vehicles being battery electric. So there's a lot we need to do. And I think the recent actions in Washington are not helping that in terms of taking away the EV tax credit and some other policies that may be setting us back. But that really shifts it to us individuals in terms of what actions we could take, and there's a lot we can do.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment conversation with Greg Keolian continues. He serves as co-director of the University of Michigan Center for Sustainable Systems. And before we talk about how we can do things on an individual basis, I want to talk economics for a moment. There's a cost to implementing sustainability measures and advancing our technologies to try and better adapt to our environmental realities. While we slowly work toward that end, do we have a handle on what it will cost us longer term by not moving more quickly?
Yes. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has been tracking the cost and damages from billion-dollar weather and climate disasters. They've been doing this for the last 40 years. The impacts are increasing in intensity and frequency from climate pollution. And that includes flooding, wildfires, droughts, heat stress. And just last year alone, it was $183 billion of damage. And I think us in Michigan, you know, one thing that we observed was the wildfire smoke or experience, which was really awful. Those events are going to continue to increase in frequency and intensity. And that's why we need to take action to limit our emissions from transportation.
As we explore the economics of future transportation and mobility, many people are already being priced out of air travel. The cost of new vehicles is becoming prohibitive for many, and they've already been priced out of much of the market. It has implications on a multitude of levels. What is going to be required of the transportation industry itself to keep people on the road and in the air while also protecting jobs and adequately stewarding a program of environmental responsibility?
Well, one thing is public transit is generally more affordable than ownership. And when it comes to vehicle ownership, we have done research on the total cost of ownership of vehicles. So that's the purchase, the fuel, the insurance, the maintenance. And we're finding that with electrified vehicles, they're coming close in parity to gas-powered vehicles, and that's because there's tremendous savings in the operation of the vehicles. And new vehicles are very difficult, particularly for low-income families. 70% of vehicle purchases are used, and we're just finishing up a study now on used vehicles and finding that the total cost of ownership is very favorable compared to new vehicles. They're depreciating a little bit more, and so we're finding that buying a used electrified vehicle 3 to 5 years old can really help lower costs. Now, of course, one needs to look at charging, and is there the ability to have access to charging infrastructure? Right. And ideally, you would have home charging because public charging is at least twice the cost of home charging.
Our Issues of the Environment conversation with U of M Center for Sustainable Systems co-director Greg Keolian continues on 89.1 WEMU. So let's talk further about responsibility. And you pointed out we each have a role in this. As we approach this particular holiday travel season, what are some of the things we can do to reduce our personal carbon footprint when we go to visit family and friends and then carry that on through the rest of the year?
Sure. I mean, one of the biggest things we could do is reduce the travel distance. So that's your vehicle miles traveled. And that, obviously, if you're visiting family, unless you're going to do it virtually, which is not something you're necessarily going to want to share your holiday dinner with virtually, that doesn't work, or bringing gifts, that doesn't work. But yeah, just in general, reducing distance, but one can reduce impact by carpooling, bundling trips. If you're visiting, instead of doing individual trips, you bundle trips. The other is choosing the right vehicle for if you're going to be, you know, driving a car and you have different vehicles in your household. So that's in general something you want to do is match the vehicle with the trips. Commuting to work, you don't do that in a big SUV. You would do that in a sedan. Individually is purchase a battery electric vehicle. As I mentioned, there's dramatic reductions in emissions and also cost of fueling.
You know, America's built on many things, and one of the under-discussed characteristics is our unquenched desire for more and more convenience. Changing our mobility and our environmental future is going to require behavioral, attitudinal, and political changes, and I'm not sure that climate adaptation and cleaner air and water are sufficient impetus to get us there. What do you think it's going to take to finally move the needle to where it needs to be?
Well, I think I agree with you that the climate may not be on top priority on people's decision-making about purchasing vehicles or how they travel. But I will say that these extreme events, are becoming more and more frequent, and I think climate pollution is becoming more visible. And so I think that is going to motivate people. But I think the other is there is a shift in transformation in terms of how we're moving. Many younger people, for example, aren't owning cars. They're living closer to where they work in urban centers. The transition with regard to electric vehicles, now it's stalled a bit because of what's happened in Washington. But the performance of electrified vehicles is actually, I think, going to help accelerate that transition because they're quieter, they have good acceleration, there's no tailpipe pollution, and the costs are going to be really better than gas-powered vehicles. because battery costs are coming down dramatically. And again, the fueling is much less than charging with electricity is less than filling up your tank with gasoline. So I think just the technology is improving. That's also going to help us. But then again, you know, we need to look at, you know, taking advantage of other modes, like, you know, getting to the airport from Ann Arbor. You know, there's a bus that we could take. If I want to get to Tiger Stadium, I could take a bus from Ann Arbor directly to Detroit and just walk a couple blocks and I'm at the stadium. So really take advantage of some of these opportunities is really recommended.
Well, I'm glad I got to take advantage of your time and have the conversation today. I appreciate it, and a happy holiday season to you and yours.
You too. Really enjoy talking with you, David, and you have a great program. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very kindly. That is Greg Keolian. He is director of the U of M's Center for Sustainable Systems. He's been our guest on Issues of the Environment. For more information and more about sustainable travel, stop by our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.